B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub. Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Down. Download the Sports Hub app today.
Well, Bolzak takes the legs out from under Dolichari.
And he turns back and looks back at the referee. Play continues. And then it is the scoring of the goal.
Unfortunate bounce for David Perron. This puck goes in, goes off of Tori Krug. It goes right back to him and then off the pad of Tuukka Rask. And again, the reason that the official did not blow the play dead is because St. Louis had possession of the puck in the offensive zone. So even though Achari was shaken up, the play continued because the Blues had possession, and Achari just barely got to his knees, and the puck ended up in the back of it.
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. It's Federer and Nadal take the court and Roland Garros.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster. A real gangster type player plays.
We get to actually watch something that's
that matters.
Something.
Yes.
That matters something.
Ami Diaz is two of the best three or four tennis players in history going at it today.
And Federer, can you get him on the clay, baby? That's what you're talking about. All right. Anyway, last night, 2-1 loss. There was the Achari trip. There was Cam Neely throwing water bottles. That was
awesome.
There were hits to the head that again may lead to suspensions, but it doesn't matter because they much rather have the majors.
Do you really think that? I haven't heard anything about any of these guys getting called.
My point again is that if you're going to headhunt and they're not going to call majors, might as well.
Yeah,
because if you suspend some fourth line guy, it's not going to matter.
Well, so just going over the stuff yesterday that just the egregious things that were missed. The head hit to Nordstrom. We all agree that that's something that on a regular basis is like ends up earning a phone call the next day. The head hit to Krug, which the explanation on TV was pretty hysterical. He lowers himself, and you know the guy made an effort to hit him in the head. Obviously, the 5 second hold on Tori Krug before Krejci had to make that ridiculous save. Now, that one, almost, other than the Achari one, was the most egregious to me because there's no question there. And it happened right in the middle of the ice, right in front of the net. And how you missed it, I have no idea. Now, there was something else that a lot of people are complaining about. And I didn't see it because I don't think NBC replayed it. But according to Joe McDonald of The Athletic, he said that for the first Blues goal, there were too many men on the ice. Now, he's a pretty good reporter. I haven't seen that anywhere else out there except for him. I saw some people taking his report and running with it, but I also believe that earlier in the this postseason, the Bruins were the benefit of a too many men on the ice when they scored a goal as well. So I'm not even going to complain about that, but if you want to pile up all the stuff that the refs missed last night, it just becomes a clown show. The entire postseason has been one egregious thing after the next. And you didn't think it could get any worse than the hand pass.
Right.
It did last night.
If the Bruins don't win game six, this is remembered as all officiating throughout the playoffs. From the hand pass that went against the Blues to the major that was called against the Knights. I mean, this is what is going to be remembered. And it's a black eye in the NHL. It's a good story that you have the Blues that, you know, that have been around since '60, and then this would be their first cup. You have a original six team in the Bruins with a guy who's coming back, a 42-year-old with a broken jaw. You have all these stories, but the story is going to be forever remembered as for the officiating, and that is the absolute last thing that you want.
I'll remember two things about this series if it ends. It'll be obviously the officiating, and it'll be the complete and total disappearance of the perfection line.
I mean, I refuse to call him the perfection line because Haggerty made it up, and it sounds
did
dumb.
He make it up?
Okay. Yeah, and it
well,
also sounds
the, see, I would
that is a Haggerty thing.
I would call it the first line, but the first line's been changing so much. You know,
top
Pasternak,
line.
Yeah, well, Pasternak, Marchand, and Bergeron.
Just people know what you say when you say the top line. Let's not go perfection.
I'm trying to make sure
distanced myself
board.
From rafters. So,
but you created rafters.
I did, but I'm even distancing myself from that. All right, Vinny, go ahead.
Yeah, fellas, how you doing this morning? My complaint with the Bruins is when they played a couple games ago and they were pushing Tuukka around, and no one came to his defense from the Boston Bruins. I was livid. If I was in the stands, I would have jumped off onto the ice myself. The thing is with the Bruins, they're getting the crap kicked out of them, and they want no part of St. Louis at all. They came out here a little bit last night, but not enough. And since when, about the officiating, since when can you go stand up for a check and go at a guy's head constantly? And how come the Bruins aren't retaliating? Why is it someone coming off the bench like Slapshot coming right across and smacking that piece of crap right in his face, man? To set a precedent and say, we're not going to take that garbage. And I don't know what Bruce Cassidy is doing behind the bench, because that's what I'd be doing, is saying, guys, you either go down like weenies, or you can go down swinging. Start hitting somebody. And they don't want Pasternak a few games ago. Did you see that guy's eyes? He looked like a deer in headlights, man.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a mess. But I mean,
what you need to do is have a guy come off the bench and just
take that major, put them on the power play for a while.
Well, obviously they're not calling majors. So
I mean,
at this point, maybe you do need to fight fire with fire. And it is kind of sad that you look at the Bruins right now, and who's been the tough guy this series? Torrey Krug, 5'9". Torrey Krug has been your enforcer.
Well, Krejci was second on the team in hits last night.
Yep. He was.
See, the Bruins pretty physical themselves last night. I mean, and the whole series has been about the physicality. St. Louis has gotten the better of it, but still. I mean, and
but you almost got to fight dirty with dirty.
Yeah, I think.
And there's nobody really on this team
but here's the problem, because Char's banged up.
No, because
now you're in an elimination game, and you can't afford to be stupid. I mean, God forbid you should get the officiating crew that calls everything, because if you decide to announce your presence with authority and give up two power play goals early, then you're screwed. The time for that was earlier in the series. You can't do that now.
And plus, you're in a St. Louis building that's going to be out of control, and that's been proven to affect officiating. When there is a huge, I mean, when they talk about home ice or home court,
well, it didn't affect it last night.
Well, no, but that has been proven. I mean, it's going to be to another level in St. Louis in game six.
You can't test the waters in an elimination game at this point in the season. You just got to go play your game and hope it's good enough and hope your top line shows up.
Let's see here. Will, go ahead.
Hey,
what's up?
I just wanted to make the point, how you guys said the series is going to be remembered for its officiating. That's definitely 100% true. This morning I was just looking up articles about the game, and the headline in every single one of them, from USA Today to CNN, the little sports section and whatnot, is that it was a blown call. It wasn't that the St. Louis won. It was a blown call. And then also want to say, Wallach, you're the man. You deserve your own show. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thanks, Dad. I appreciate it.
Checking in. Did you say thanks, Dad?
I said thanks, Dad. Yeah, I appreciate it.
By the way, even the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, as I was saying before, their headline is "What a Trip," and it's got Achari.
Well, they compared the call to the 1985 call that screwed the Cardinals.
But then they hedged their headline and say whether Achari was tripped or he embellished the fall.
There's a 10-year-old writing the captions.
By the way, I did not see this. I will fully admit I did not see this, but early reports from the Felger postgame show last night had him leading with that Achari embellished the fall.
No, he didn't.
That I didn't see it. I'm told that's what happened. Maybe we can get the audio from it.
Well, I don't care what he thought about it. Why would I care what
I'm just amazed that someone local would actually say that.
And say it was embellished. Can anyone see that?
Threw his head back, apparently.
He went to concussion. They took him out of the game. They brought him into the dark room.
Bring it up with the guys from 2 to 6. I'm just reporting the news here.
No, good. I'm not going to listen. A lot of people are going to call and get mad at him, and a lot of people are going to listen.
Which is what he wants.
Yeah, which
good
is
for him.
I mean,
yeah.
it's a con game.
I mean, Fred, I want the audio so I can give him the what for.
Exactly. I'm not doing it.
Play that hot take police song. Siren. It's been a while. It's been a while since we've heard it.
Yeah, like, listen, I'm not, buying the bridge. And I'm not going to buy the lakefront in
Arkansas that Eric Estrada is selling. Yes.
Well, Estrada, I mean, if you get him on point. Kevin, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, so of all the egregious calls in that game, I know we're talking about the Achari because it resulted in a goal. That Krug hold for like 3, 4, maybe 5 seconds was ridiculous.
Yep.
And it should have been a 2-0 game if it wasn't for that unbelievable save by Krejci.
Yeah.
And I think we'd be talking about that a lot more. But I also want to just say, Cassidy is just a refreshing coach. I like listening to the way he talks. He tells it how it is. All right, I'll let you guys talk.
Hey, real quick, Kevin, you said that Krejci play reminded you of somebody. Who was it?
No, no, it doesn't remind me of somebody. I just thought it was.
It says up on the screen that it looks like what Michael Ryder did, and I said, you know, I'd be happy about that, you know. Mr. Michael Ryder,
any
president
reason
of the Michael Ryder fan club, Xanadu.
Any reason, Chris?
Who knows what goes in the mind of young Bird? There's actually phone calls today, so his hands are very tied.
And you know what? People are calling it, like that guy from the, is saying, oh, yeah, you know what? So-and-so knocked the stick out of someone's hand. I've been hearing that about, you know, Bennington. There's a difference between something like that and something like headhunting. And right way, in front of you, a slew foot that leads to a goal.
By the way, knocking a stick out of someone's hands, I understand. But that's a relatively new thing. I mean, you used to be able to do it. I'm still not sure why you can't. But
apparently that's a slash.
Yeah,
nowadays.
But now that's a slash.
Know.
It wasn't a slash.
No, three years ago.
Yeah, it wasn't a slash. So let's relax a little bit about that.
One quick thing about the goaltending and the guy brought up that, you know, that was, if it were not for David Krejci, it was 2-0. Goaltending was even last night.
Yes.
Both goaltenders lucked out. They were beaten multiple times and shots hit the post. Both goaltenders appeared to let pucks underneath them into the net and were saved on replay. I mean, I think it was pretty even. Now, the shots were not, but the quality was exactly the same.
No, I mean, again, Tuukka was very good, very solid last night. 617-779-0985. But that's right. Krejci not only with the save of the night, also led the team in hits.
The second line, I mean, you know, between DeBrusk and between what Krejci did, I mean,
they were bad.
They weren't bad.
They were bad.
They weren't awful like they have been.
DeBrusk scored on a power play. Essentially. So, no, the second line is...
What do you mean
invisible.
Essentially on a power play?
Because it was a delayed call.
That's a 5-on-5 goal, my friend. That's a 5-on-5 goal, God bless.
That's a delayed penalty.
So what?
Yeah, they
didn't have the guy
the
off the ice. It's a 5-on-5 goal.
Oh, give me a break.
I'm counting it, damn it. 5-on-5, TNR bump.
You should. You're joking.
It's a delayed call. It was a delayed call.
Was it 5-on-4?
No, it
five
was
6-on-5. 5-on-5.
It was 6-on-5.
Doesn't matter.
It's 6-on-5. It was a delayed call.
The last guy was late getting on. 5-on-5.
Oh, give me a... Do you guys really not know that was a delayed call?
Of course I do.
Give me a break.
It went in the record books as 5-on-5.
Damn right it did.
It took until the third period of game five for anyone in the first two lines.
Anything for the top two lines to get involved.
I think you guys didn't remember that was a delayed call.
Of course it was a delayed call.
I don't know.
Of course it was.
I actually forgot.
Yeah, I think Rich
I did not. I just love poking you.
I actually forgot.
See, I think Rich did forget. You guys are giving me crap.
I mean, it was 5-on-5, but I forgot. There was an armor at the time.
No, it was a delayed call. No, the second line was
20 seconds. I remember they had the puck in their own end, and then they brought it forward.
DeBrusk is a wonderful human being and going to have a great future with this team, but that wasn't exactly the most exciting.
Backus would have made the difference, Fred. Let's fight.
All right, yeah, that's he's really stepped up for the team. He's been the physical president.
By the way, that video of Backus sitting on the ninth floor was priceless, man. He could not have been. I mean, there was steam rising off his head. He was so angry.
I don't think I saw that.
It was great.
Okay.
I did.
Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Backus could not have been more angry sitting there. Yeah. It was great.
He was thinking of all the ways he wouldn't have contributed. All right. We will be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Than you think.
Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Running at 5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. 2-1 loss yesterday. Achari slew-footed. They didn't call it. The Blues score a goal. Achari goes to the room to get his head checked out. There was a play where Krug was held for 4 seconds when Krejci had to go into the crease and actually make a save himself. There were several shots to the head. It was a very poorly officiated game. The idea that Berube from St. Louis could just have called out the officials and all of a sudden they would go, oh, yeah, okay. Like, well, yeah, whatever you want. Yeah, sure, we'll do that. Is a little frustrating. I can't lie to you. But let's go to Dave, 617-779-0985. Dave, go ahead.
What's up, brothers? The thing is, this series is about physicality, and I know the calls are the calls, but the Bruins are playing like candy asses. I'm sorry. They just are. I mean, they're taking two of our defensemen out, breaking jaws, giving concussions, and the refs are letting it. So basically, my take on this is that the Bruins do not possess the physicality to go against the St. Louis Blues, who went through a tremendously tough Western Conference. Anaheim, I mean, all those teams, I don't know exactly where they played, but San Jose, I mean, it was just, they are so more physical than us. Rask is not the issue. We're just soft. We're soft, brothers. I'm sorry. And to win two games right now will be a miracle, but I'm hoping for it. I actually took the under last night because I know that guy Bennington is now playing on his head. So I just want to hear your response, man. Great show. Take care.
Thank you. Well, the Bruins out hit St. Louis, whatever that means to you. I mean, if you're talking about, I mean, the hit that took out Grizzlick was a dirty hit, and the officials were too candy-ass to call major on it. So instead, they just suspended some fourth liner for a game, which I guess they won the game, so whatever. But, I mean, you'd rather get the major. And, I mean, the Bruins are playing physical as well. They're just not hurting people.
I think the difference for Berube, for what Berube said, has allowed St. Louis to go over the line a little bit. And that's the difference. And I said it earlier, this has been a great series to watch if you're just a casual NHL fan, because these two teams are beating the crap out of each other. It's awesome to watch. The referees are letting them play. The difference is St. Louis is going over the edge and things are not getting called. The Bruins have not done that yet. And unfortunately for them, it's too late. You can't do that in a game six on the road.
Not in a
You're never going to get any benefit of the doubt.
No.
If you start headhunting the way that St. Louis has done. And give the Blues credit. They see the way this is being called, and they're going to keep pushing the envelope until the refs put a stop to it. I mean, if you get away with this stuff and the championship is on the line, you keep getting away with it. Berube's old school.
Well, we talked about it. It's like the officials are afraid to make calls because they don't want to be the ones that dictate the outcome of the game because they feel that the league office can handle it after the fact. But that's one thing for like head hits and stuff, like not calling majors. But again, there've been so many instances of you're standing right there. It's happening right in front of you.
Yeah.
You're focused on the goal.
I just don't understand the
series.
The Bozak thing I'll always remember that because that was.
It was right there.
There's a ref right there, and
yes,
he didn't call it. I'm amazed at what was going through his mind.
It's not the
first time there was the hand passed. It's been a major that refs missed. I get all that. But
by the way,
how is it possible that you are looking right at it and let it go?
How about this? If you thought he was embellishing, then call coincidental minor.
Yes. Even better. Idea.
Good. I mean, because if you think
two for you, everyone will play 4-on-4.
Right.
I like that. Something needed to be called there.
Because if you thought he flopped, then call coincidental minors.
I absolutely agree with that.
They're afraid to call anything. And
But why? That's the thing. Why are they afraid to call
anything? Because Jaffe said it. Guys from the NHL Network have said it. These officials, and you like it when they swallow the whistles a bit. You do like it. However, you don't like it when, you know, there's rules in hockey. I mean, you know, maybe you let some after the play, you let some shenanigans happen. Maybe you look the other way when there could be a boarding, something like that. But, there are rules to the game of
this
hockey.
This league's supposed to be about player safety, right?
Right, but there are rules to the game of hockey.
This isn't a fringe video game. This is real life.
But these refs are petrified of making a call that will skew the outcome of a game. and they believe that they have a safety net in the league and that the league will take care of it when they're all, when all is said and done. And it's, I don't recall sports where you, football. I mean, it happens in football, but I mean, you're things happen behind a play. I've seen Chara hit Crosby in
sure,
the face.
Right.
I've seen things happen.
The Bruins aren't
play.
Blameless in their history. This has happened a lot to the Bruins, but in this particular instance, man, did that change the game.
All right. Josh is a fan of the St. Louis Blues. Oh, go ahead, Josh.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, what's up?
So I am a big Blues fan, living up here in New Hampshire, but I was very disappointed in the refs last night because they ruined what was the non-call and the trip. Granted, we won, but it was very disappointing. I like that it's been a good series, and I think the refs are kind of like ruining what's been a great series. And we won, but it was bad calls, the hits that they didn't call, the head hits. I mean, we won. But we won disappointing, and not a fan of how everything went last night. It ruined a good game.
Well, what's going to happen is it's going to go down as, as a Blues fan, you're not going to care if they end up winning the series at the end of the day. But what's going to happen is this is going to be a series, an NHL final that's remembered for its terrible officiating, and that's what the memory of it's going to be. Unless the Bruins win Game 6. Then maybe that storyline goes a little bit away. But if they lose in Game 6 on the road, this series is going to be forever remembered as the work of poor officiating.
That's the other thing. And the narrative shouldn't be this cost the Bruins the series. They have a chance to dust themselves off, go to St. Louis and win, and they had a blowout win in Game 3. It's not like it's impossible. But if they do lose, and they lose in Game 6 on St. Louis's home ice, that call robbed them of a chance to take the lead in this series. I'm not saying they would have. I just wanted the players to figure it out themselves.
They would
and not
won.
Have the officials give a red-hot goaltender a 2-0 lead in the third period.
If the Blues don't score there and the Bruins go on the power play, what percentage of the chance of winning do you lean it to? Say, like, the Blues get up 2-0, and so the percentage of the Bruins winning is 20. What do you?
I thought it was less than that, but
all right,
yes.
Say, fine, 15. What do you give the Bruins if that's a penalty and it's a 1-0 game?
Bruins are clipping along at 35% on the power play, so I'll give them at least that much to tie it. Now, they might have gone and lost the game in overtime.
That's
certainly a possibility.
That's fine, but
they would have gotten back into the game and had a chance to decide things themselves.
But the percentage of the chances.
Yeah,
it
would have doubled.
More than doubled.
That's by my percentages, it would have doubled. It would have doubled their opportunity to get back in the game.
Let's go to Mark. Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Hey.
So you guys are starting to touch on the things that I wanted to talk about, but we've seen 5 games now where, you know, it seems like the Bruins are trying to play as straight up as they can, and the other team, you know, I feel like they're dirty. I mean, you see last night when Pastrnak goes to the net, and after the play he gets chokeslammed, and the ref's right there. So I don't feel good about Game 6. I think it's going to be more of the same.
I gotta believe Game 6 is called much tougher. And I don't want it to become about the officials, even the other way.
It's too late.
No. But what I'm saying is I don't want it to be like the officials the other way either, that they're calling too many penalties.
Right.
I don't want them to be a factor in the game. I want them to call obvious penalties. That's all. Obvious. That's it. I don't want them to get nitpicky. I don't want them to favor the Bruins. All I want them to do is, if they see something right in front of them, is to take a little bit of balls and call it. They're afraid. We've talked to 10 guys this week that say that in the finals, these officials are afraid to call penalties because they're afraid that they're going to get backlash. And guess what, dumbasses? Coincidental minors. That's all. Call it. Say Achari threw himself back and in the effort to, you know, to win a game, almost gave himself a concussion. Fine. Call coincidental minors. Don't ignore that the slew foot happened. I mean, it did. You cannot argue that did not happen. Now, if you want to say he embellished, which I don't agree on, embellished throwing himself back, that's fine. Then call 2 penalties. That's all. All right. We'll get to Xanadu in just a moment.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich. 98.5 Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Brady won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me.
Rich.
Buddy, I have a super dry tongue. Look.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What was the feeling on the bench in the moment? What was being said there? Was there anything from the referees?
What was being said was you missed an effing call is what was being said on the bench for obvious reasons. But after that, we had to settle down and play. If you mean by me or the players or...
Yeah, the whole.
I mean, I think, you know, we thought we got screwed, but you got to keep playing. We did. We scored the next goal, gave ourselves a chance to win. You know, we tried to rally around that, but moving forward.
This. I spit bomb, kill him softly with this song. Click strong, this ain't nothing like a chick song. Big John.
Mike's the man, watch on Showtime. It's a 3-part documentary on the Wu-Tang Clan. I enjoyed it immensely. I watched it twice, and I'm not even like the world's biggest Wu-Tang Clan. I only like You God.
Did you hear that? I don't know if you saw the email yesterday, but Czarface has done a thing with Bentwater Beer. Like, yeah, they've got their own beer. It's a Czarface beer.
Yeah, he's
got, I mean, the guy's got Czarface socks, Czarface beer.
Yeah,
I mean,
got a lot of irons in the fire.
Czarface socks.
I think we can get by without having the beer guy on. All right. I will tell you this, Rich. You know, and then we will get back to the phone calls. Do you know what I'm doing this afternoon?
No. Playing golf, I'm guessing.
Well, that would be a really exciting story. I am going to a home where they're shooting a Chris Evans vehicle.
Oh, yeah. That. What is the name of the movie he's filming in town?
It's called, like, A Story of Joshua or something.
It's like a series. It's not like
I don't know what the hell it is.
But there's a ton of people in town. So the Chris Evans is filming a movie. Ryan Reynolds, I think, is down by the courthouse. Or I was at the...
Are you stalking him? Because I know you're a big Reynolds guy.
The guy's a hunk. What can I say?
I mean,
and we had a moment. Like, we had a connection, me and him. But there was a film that I think he's in that was at the Seaport this whole weekend. And also, Sandler is doing one of these movies. It's like one of his throwaway Netflix, movies for Netflix, yeah. That I think they're casting extras at in Salem. It's about Halloween.
Of course it is.
So there you go. So okay.
So my children are convinced they're in this movie because they're shooting in the backyard of this guy's house.
Well, expect a lot more movies here. And I know there's already a ton.
Because they're kicking everyone out of Atlanta.
That's the thing, is that there's people who are, you know, leaving the state of Georgia, which when it comes to tax credits, Massachusetts and Georgia are about two of the best.
Yeah.
So get ready. They're all going to be here.
Michigan had it, and they said no.
They need to open one of those big-ass movie studios like Georgia has. Like, I mean, all the Marvel films are at this huge movie studio called Pinewood. I think it's called Pinewood. And... I mean, how many people is that employ?
But how many times there's never been a seminal movie like Smoking the Bandit that's been filmed in Boston like there was in Atlanta? All right. Xanadude, super fan. Now, I have to ask you, there was Bruins on Bruins Crime last night. The officiant.
I had nothing to do with that. You know what? I saw that fight on Twitter, and my best thought is someone said something like, hey, at least they've had a good season. Someone else said, you know what? Screw this. We're going after them. We're throwing punches because they couldn't fight the players on the ice. They couldn't fight the refs, so they decided to fight each other, which makes no sense, but at least they can fight somebody because that game was the most frustrating experience I have had since the Toronto series.
Yes.
All right. So what do you make of people that say you can't blame the officiating?
Cam Neely sacrificed a water bottle to express his thoughts on what happened there. You know what? The Bruins could have played better in general. You know what? You play some, you win some calls, you lose some calls. But that game was refereed worse than men's league hockey. In fact, in men's league, they would have called that because they know you have to call that. The guy's getting paid $50 a night to do it, but the NHL refs don't. How do you screw that up?
Oh, yeah, Rich. One of the things I was saying is that we've been told this by several people that cover the league. Mm-hmm. These officials in the finals are afraid to make calls. They're afraid to make them because they don't want to be considered the reason for a team winning or losing. But guess what? When something happens to you or right in front of you, and again, say you're the most cynical person in the world, call coincidental minors. Say, call a slew-footed embellishment.
Or you could, but that doesn't make sense because the first three games, there were tons of penalties that were called.
I'll give you an example, is the Grizzly kit. They lean on the league to suspend them because they don't want to call the major because they know the major would probably cost the team a game.
Well, that brings up an interesting point because after the Grizzly hit, you heard almost immediately that was probably going to get looked at and yes, that Sundquist might get a phone call. Have you heard a word about any of the two headshots that you saw yesterday?
No, but they will be reviewed. And then if the guys get suspended, who cares? What you want is the 5-minute major. You don't want some piece of garbage that's easily replaced.
You want it, but I mean, the Sundquist suspension, Sundquist is a lot more active in this series than I think many people are giving him credit for.
I'd rather have the 5-minute major.
Well, of course you would. But if it's what you're saying, Fred, is that they're not pulling the trigger as easily as they should.
They're not pulling the trigger.
Then at least you would think there'd be some sort of call or suspension. I mean, I don't know.
They're not calling anything. I mean, they're not, and they're afraid to.
I mean, the Barbashev one on Johansson's the worst of the two. I mean, the Torrey Krug one's really bad. But I mean, I've seen side by side.
The Torrey Krug one is, I don't think, suspendable. The one on Johansson.
Yeah, that was bad.
And they'll probably suspend. Watch, they'll turn around as a makeup. They'll turn around, they'll suspend the guy, and then you'll go, well, great. Like, what does that do for me?
Good. Took another checking line forward off the board.
Yeah, well, fantastic. Yep. Well, what are we to do?
The whole Barbashev suspension is going to really swing the series.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you're right.
Call it on the ice. Don't lean on the league. The suspensions don't matter.
Mike from Woburn, who I like. So at the beginning of this has just kind of become a weird tradition. I don't even know how it started, but whenever there's a major playoff loss, we usually start the show with
Midget with a Dog.
Yes.
You know, Midget with a Dog. Mike Wilburn put Midget with a Midget. Okay, he put Midget blew the call. Midget blew the call. Achari got tripped. Sutherland saw it all. Midget blew the call. Yeah. He was right there, if you see that video. Standing right there when he flipped him.
I don't care if you're the most you're a conspiracy theorist or whatever. Call coincidental minors. The idea that you swallowed the whistle there is inexcusable. And I believe, and I was telling Walk about this, Rich. I said, say that a 2-0 in the third period with how many minutes left, you know, you probably give the Bruins a 15% chance of winning that game. If it's 1-0 and the Bruins are on the power play, the Bruins have at least a 50% chance of winning that game, I would say, given the success of their power play.
Tying the game, maybe, not winning it.
All right, John. I mean, but you understand what I'm saying. I mean, it completely changes the whole game.
Well, yes. They were just robbed the chance to win it. Doesn't mean they were going to win it, but
the percentages of them winning that game
would have gone up.
Would have gone up astronomically. All right, so we will continue to take your phone calls. And I'm being told in very mysterious ways that one of my favorite people is involved in one of these recaps.
Oh, I didn't use that one. It wasn't good.
Oh.
Okay, can you just tell me who it was?
He said he ran into Tyler Faith.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it wasn't a good recap. Oh, I didn't use that one.
I didn't think that was... I thought it was going to be like the faster guy or something.
No. No, faster guy, he got zoomed up to a different planet or something. He completely disappeared. I don't know what happened.
The aliens kidnapped him.
He went up to that motorcycle planet from I Think You Should Leave.
Did Tyler Faith at least acknowledge my existence during the...
I listened to the first 2 minutes and it was awful.
The answer from the other room is yes.
Okay, good. Tyler Faith, the Saugus is his own adult film star. I follow her on Instagram. She has got a new breast implant.
Really?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why the vitriol coming from over here from Rich.
No, not vitriol. She just wasn't good.
Well, she's good at pornography. All right. We'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. For the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Tutcher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
Fans are watching Chara, and they're announcing him right now in the starting lineup. But the Bruins, that's the forwards there, Judd. This has got to be their game. Usually they figure it out as the series goes on, especially that Bergeron line. We're hoping that game is today.
The Garden is roaring as they show Zdeno Chara on the video wall at center ice.
Oh, it was great. You know, I mean, showed his character. He's, you know, it takes a lot. It takes a lot for him to not play. And, you know, yeah, get some big balls.
Ah, Frank Sinatra. Frankie, my boy, don't know. You haven't put big boys to sing calypso. What did they say? Frankie, my boy, don't know. You haven't put big boys to sing calypso. Office worker, he's office worker. Please, Mr. Officer, I only had some vodka.
.985 The Sports Hub. We are Tutcher and Rich. There's some controversy at the station revolving around the recaps. Young Nicholas is very excited about his interview with Suggs' own adult film star, Tyler Faith, and is mad that Rich only gave it 2 minutes.
No. I have so little time in the morning to get these together. Like, so if, like, within the first minute or two, the recap sucks, I move on to the next one.
Uh-huh.
And so...
But he's we all understand that, but he's adamant.
So Nick now wants me to go back, listen to the entire thing, edit it, and put it in, yep. which I will have to miss a break or two.
Well, that
so, Nick, are you
all the time.
That... Yes, but I already missed one because I got two ready to go for 8 o'clock. Are you that confident? Thumbs up or thumbs down, Nick? Because you're on the
now,
line on this
now
one.
The heat's on. Now you have to be sure.
If you like it, tell him you like it.
It's enough for me to go and do... Okay. All right.
We got beers coming up. You don't have to be in there for that.
Okay, good.
I mean, it's all phone calls all day. This is the perfect day.
All right.
I mean, he got to meet adult film star.
She talks about you, I'm sure. So
me is not the factor. That's funny.
Okay.
I will not give the audience away.
Very good.
No, it's not about me.
All right.
I've never met her.
We do, however, have somebody who on the phone is bringing up a point that, oh boy.
All right. Phil, go ahead.
Guys, I have this reoccurring nightmare I'm going to tell you about.
Yes.
God forbid St. Louis wins the cup. And as they're interviewing Berube after the game, he puts his hand under his chin, rips off a mask, and it's Dale Arnold's head.
Oh, no! I forgot! Everything has kind of gone downhill since he showed up. It's...
Hi, this is Catherine Tappan, star of Nessun.
Everything is awesome.
Get the duck boats ready. After 39 long years, the cup is back home. The Bruins are 2011 Stanley Cup champions. Stanley Cup champions.
Hi, this is Dale Arnold. Dale Arnold.
Backhander, and a big St. Thomas rebound score. Joel Ward on the follow-up bid wins the game for the Capitals. The Capitals put an end to the Bruins season.
The curse of Dale Arnold.
Time expires, and the Chicago Blackhawks are Stanley Cup champions in 2013.
Hi, this is Dale Arnold.
Rust will send it all the way down, wide of the empty net, and that's it.
Hi, this is Dale Arnold.
And the Bruins season comes to an end at the hands of the Montreal Canadiens.
Dale Arnold.
Losing Game 7 on home ice by a final of 3-1.
The curse of Dale Arnold.
You left out the crock of crap part because it's a crock of crap.
That was a curse.
It's the deadliest. I mean, how many times has he ruined people's views when he has to stand on the chair?
It's the deadliest curse in sports.
Ugh.
It's worse than the Madden curse. It was worse than the curse of the Bambino.
Now, what I thought was going to happen is when Tim Conway died and the whole Dorf situation.
The curse of the Dorf?
Well, the two are very similar. Well,
I mean, listen.
In their size.
They haven't won a cup since Dale Arnold took over for Catherine Tappan. That's true. And there's been some very, like, weird, spooky, suspicious things that have happened since he's been there. I mean, look at yesterday. I mean, do you think that if Dale Arnold isn't doing the pre and post game...
Is it anyone or just Tappan have to be doing it?
Do you think that how often he has to go box shopping? I mean, because he stands on a box. Do you think that, like, if he gets, like, a bonus, like, he goes out and gets, like, a mahogany box?
Jaffe looks over and said, Dale, I would have gone with the blue one today.
Or is it just, like, a crate?
I don't know.
I mean, see, Dale
Arnold, I would have gone milk carton on
Dale,
the milk
Dale Arnold,
on this.
Who my only gripe with is that he was terrible to Wallach, which I don't understand. But so I feel free.
Maybe Wallach deserved it, you know?
Right.
You don't know the whole story.
Wallach's all right. So he has to stand on a box. And I'll tell you this, is that Billy Jaffe's no Stretch Armstrong. I mean, like, Billy Jaffe's not, like, you know, 7 feet tall. Billy Jaffe's, like, 5'9", 5'10".
But he towers. He's a Goliath.
I mean, if you have to stand on a box next to Brick and Jaffe, I mean, neither of those guys are particularly tall.
If that's Tom Caron doing the pre- and post-game, do you think that Achari slew foot gets called? Of course it does. It happens every single time. Do you think that those two hits to the head? Of course it does. I'm telling you, that guy's onto something, and it's kind of scary, and I can't shake it now. The deadliest curse in sports might have actually hit the Bruins once again.
I mean, how many Happy Meals were eaten after that game? All right. she doesn't have an appetite like a normal fella. Chuck, go ahead. He was mean to you, Wallach. I have your back. All right, Chuck, go ahead.
That was great.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, I agree that the officials have been bad. Last night was beyond bad. You know, but that being said, the Blues have derailed the Bruins' speed game.
Yes.
They figured out what the Bruins want to do.
Yep.
They see it. And the Blues have negated it.
Here's what's more frustrating to me is that the Blues are doing all they can do. This is the only way the Blues can play. And for some reason, in Game 3, the Bruins had an antidote for it. The Blues have changed nothing about the way they're playing the game, but for some reason, whatever the Bruins did in Game 3 is gone.
See, the Blues need to keep the speed of the Bruins at bay.
Yes.
That's what they're doing. They're stuffing the breakout. I think for the first time last night, I go to every game, I was at the game. For the first time last night, the Bruins kept a couple of forwards up high. Now, I know they've been hemmed in a lot, the whole 9 yards trying to get the puck out. They kept the forwards out high by the red line, even by the other blue line. They stretched the ice. The Blues defense has to honor that.
Yes.
And they were playing out high beyond the blue line. It gives your defensemen, you got two forwards down in your own zone.
And it gives the defensemen
to get that first pass.
It gives your defensemen that extra second to get that first pass, and then it's up to your forwards to move it out of the zone. And they did
no
it so well. They did it so well in Game 3, and for the life of me, and I've asked everyone under the sun from the NHL Network or anything else what was going on. All right.
The other thing, too, is
we need to take this call post-haste. Monty, go ahead.
All right, fellas. You remember Kickboxer when Van Damme fights Tong Po and he's got the glass on his hands and stuff?
Yeah.
Picture that fight between Bob Soucy and Dale Arnold, who wins?
Well, if you throw Reese in, there's not. If you're at your own peril if you're ringside because you're getting a foot taken out. But Arnold could bore him to death. Arnold could blind him by farting dust.
Sean's not going to be able to do his headlines.
You guys got to stop. God, you got to stop.
He was mean to you.
I know.
He deserves to be made fun of. He was mean to you. He treated you horribly.
Trust me, no one appreciates this more than me. But can I get through this next one first? And then just let it rip. Just let me do this first.
Because I give you the power of white hair.
Come on. This isn't fair.
But then the dark power of Dale Arnold and his curse just lifts them up into a fog of smoke, disintegrates them. It's a battle royale.
Maybe Dale talks so much that Soucy falls asleep and then becomes victim.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, listen, he shouldn't have been so mean to you.
I agree.
That's not nice. That's not nice. All right. No commercials here, just headlines. We'll get to some recaps.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.